Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. If we've not met before, my name's Andy. I'm part of the team here, and it's a delight to be with you this afternoon, even though it's a bit dreary. I just poked my head outside a few moments ago to get some fresh air, and my word, it's like a monsoon out there, but it's Ireland. We'll survive, right? It's not like we've seen rain, never seen rain before. So anyway, I want to begin a sermon series jumping into for the first few weeks of the autumn, and we want to be talking about the kingdom of God. Before I do that, I just want to say, for those of you that have been praying for Harmony and for Harmony's mom, my mother-in-law, Judy, I just want to give you a little bit of an update and just thank you so much for your prayers and for your care and concern for that situation. For those of you who don't know, Harmony's mom took a massive stroke a couple of weeks ago, and many of you have just been inquiring and faithfully praying and supporting and doing all you can. Harmony's mom will most likely be moved to a care facility this week. So she was able to survive the stroke, but she currently is not responsive. And so she'll be moved to a care home, and the family are entering just a different stage of coming to terms with what has happened and how to pray and how to be and things like that. So we would continue to covet your prayers. I know Harmony would, and she's so grateful for how you've prayed for them. And I know Harmony's family in Croatia are so, so grateful for your support, care, and love. So thank you. Thank you so much. All right, so we're going to be talking about the kingdom of God, and it's a core theme in the whole Bible. So if you're new to the Bible, it is a lens in which we can read the scriptures, and it's incredibly helpful to help us put things in place and to have it make sense and things like that. It's something that Jesus taught about an awful lot. It's something we pray about every week. In fact, we just prayed a kingdom prayer, the Lord's Prayer, "Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." And it's something that's really key to our vineyard heritage. It's part of our charism. It's part of who we understand ourselves to be, the kingdom of God. And I need to say personally that Jesus and his teachings on the kingdom have shaped my life profoundly and are one of the major reasons I'm still a Christian. And as we ramp back up after a summer season where I hope you got to detach a bit and rest and enjoy the goodness of God that is summertime, we're going to use the kingdom of God to refocus us on our callings, on our vocations, and our discipleship. And you might be like, look, we have just been talking about some really heavy things here and praying about that in church. And why would we kind of just do like Bible-y trivia nerd fest on the kingdom of God or something like that when I've got a busy life? I've got griefs in my life. I've got disappointment in my life. We're facing hard things personally as families and facing hard things in our communities, and we're facing hard things in the world. Like, why just detach and just do this study on the kingdom of God? Well, I want to try and answer that question before we leap into the rest of today. And you know, the core belief, the core worldview of the kingdom of God, that God is king and life in his kingdom through Jesus the Messiah is available to all who want it. And his rule and his reign is advancing against the kingdom of darkness. And his kingdom is present now with us in part and will come in fullness when Jesus returns. And that we can live in his kingdom under his rule and his reign now. And that living in his kingdom is the safest and most hopeful place that we can possibly dwell. All of that, the theology of the kingdom in a nutshell, isn't just wishful thinking for naive Christians who want to do a little escapism. It's actually something that gives us a stable and robust foundation to build our lives upon. It allows us to tell the truth about us and our lives and about Jesus. It allows us to know truth in the midst of competing ideologies where it's hard to know at times what is real and what is true. It helps us make sense of the world and our place in it, to make sense of God's story. That God's story isn't just something we read about in the Bible or we observe. It's a story that we're actually inhabiting and play a part in. God's story of creation, redemption, establishing a kingdom that we're graciously invited into will never end. It also allows us to be very active in the mission of Jesus in the world today, but also content and at rest within the limits that God sets upon our finite lives. It allows us to withstand and understand the hard things that happen to us and those we love. It helps us, believe it or not, to endure suffering. And it is hugely important. It's a hugely important conviction for the Vineyard family of churches to which we belong. It impacts our values, our priorities. It impacts how we do church. It impacts why we believe that God heals today, why we bother to invite men and women and children to follow Jesus. It impacts why we think we should serve the poor, why we believe we can know Jesus at all and experience his transformation, and much, much more. And above all, the biggest reason that I want to share about today at the end of the talk is it leads us into immense hope. The hope of Jesus, the Lord of heaven and earth, and his activity and impact in our lives and in our world right now, and the hope of his future return. I asked this question of the first service, and they weren't sure, but I'm going to ask it. I've got faith in you. Does anybody here need hope? Yeah. I need hope. And if you need hope, the kingdom of God is for you. And so I want to do a little bit of an introduction today and talk about what is the kingdom. We'll be talking about it much, much more in the weeks to come. But Lord, just as we start, would you let your kingdom come? We believe that it is here and present and it is at hand. And we rejoice in the fact that it is also coming in fullness one day. And we look out over the world and we say, Lord, come and come quickly. Help us to embrace your kingdom afresh. And help some of us who just have never given our lives to Jesus, help us to come into the kingdom today and begin to experience your gracious, gracious rule and reign. All right, so what is the kingdom of God? What is it? Well, the kingdom of God, when we start talking about it, it's like this lens you see that we can read the Bible through. And once you see it in the Bible, it's like one of those things, once you see it, you can't unsee it, and it just kind of pops up everywhere. The biblical words for kingdom are malkuth in Hebrew, it's what you translate kingdom, and basileia in Greek, okay? Old Testament written primarily in Hebrew, New Testament written primarily in Greek, originally translated into English and like every other language known to man. So, malkuth and basileia. And those words, again, not just a nerd fest, believe it or not, this will be important. When we hear kingdom, we usually think of like a geographical realm, like actual borders, like a country or a region or a kingdom, and you could trace it, you could visit it, you could go there right now and take a step into it and cross some kind of border and then take a step out of it and that kind of thing. And sometimes the biblical words for kingdom are used that way, but most often the biblical words for kingdom mean the authority or rule or reign, the dynamic reign of a king or a queen. And you can see this in places like Ezra, chapter 8, verse 1. These are the family heads and those who registered with them who came up with me from Babylon during the reign of King Artaxerxes. So it's not talking about the country or the boundaries that King Artaxerxes ruled. It talks about his reign, the domain of his authority. Or you could go to Psalm 145, verse 13, and it's the psalmist is crying out to the Lord, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion or your reign endures through all generations. And it's not pointing to boundaries on a map. It's pointing about the authority, the reign of God as king, that it is something for all generations, it's something for eternity, and things like that. In the New Testament, it means exactly the same thing. So it can at times refer to this physical space of a kingdom, but more often it refers to a reign or the authority of a king or a queen rather than a place. And where the king or the queen rules and reigns, where their authority is, what happens? Well, they get their way, right? Their will is done in the place in which they reign. They have a dynamic, real authority. And believe it or not, there's places and ways where you have a reign. You have a kingdom or you have a queendom, really small places usually. But there are places where what you say goes, right? You get to decide today, usually you do, you get to decide how are you going to spend your time. You get to decide what's going to happen in your home today. You get to decide what's going to happen in your department at work or the class that you teach in school. You're going to decide what you're going to have for lunch today. You get to decide what hairstyle you have, usually. Unless you're told what kind of hairstyle you're going to have by a spouse or something like that, I don't know. I'm told I am not allowed to have just a mustache. One of these days, I'm going to exercise my kingly authority and just have one. I'll let you know how that goes. But anyway, you have a kingdom. You have a queendom in some way, shape, or form, and where you what you say goes. You have an active reign, an authority. Okay? In Exodus chapter 15, verse 18, it's the first explicit revelation of God as king in the Bible. Okay, there's other clues hidden before that, but this is the first time when God brings his people out of slavery in Egypt, and the Egyptian army has just been swallowed up by the sea. God's delivered his people, and the people respond by singing a song. And what they proclaim to God is the Lord reigns forever and ever. And there you see this. It's the Lord's reign, his rule, his authority lasts forever and ever. And what happens right after that is really, really interesting. So the people have proclaimed God's eternal rule and reign. And right after that, Exodus 19, verse 6, God, he's invited them into the wilderness to worship him. And he invites them into his kingdom. And he says, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. The destiny of God's people, even till today, has been to be a people of the kingdom of the one true God, a kingdom of priests ministering to the nations of the earth. If you have ever read the Old Testament, you know that God's people don't do so well. They, in fact, rebel, and they decide, actually, we're not happy with the job you're doing as king. Lord, we want our own king. Give us our own king, just like the nations around us. And sometimes that goes well with like the reign of people like David. But most of the time, it doesn't go well, very well at all. The people rebel. It turns into a living nightmare. The nation wanders from living under God's rule and reign, and they end up in exile and captivity, conquered by surrounding nations as a judgment. And what happens is the people are in captivity, is they begin to cry out for God to be king again. They begin to cry out for God to save them. And God begins to speak about what he will do in the future. And he speaks through the prophets. And these are the Old Testament prophetic writings. And one of the major themes for the prophets is God's future becoming kingdom and how God will be king again, especially in the book of Isaiah. If you've never read the book of Isaiah, buckle up and have a go. Like, it's really wonderful. And one of the big themes of Isaiah is the coming kingdom of God. Isaiah will remind God's people that God has always been king. So this is what the Lord says, Israel's king and redeemer, the Lord Almighty. He's not just a king, but he's a redeemer who will save them, right? God is the first and the last, and apart from me, there is no God. So Isaiah reminds them that God is king. But then he also prophesies things that we're used to reading at Christmas, that the Messiah, a royal deliverer, will come and deliver the people and lead them out from an exodus and put in kingdom language. So Isaiah chapter 9, of the greatness of his government and peace, it will be no end. He will reign, there's that word again, on David's throne and over his kingdom. Wow. Establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time onward. That's the language of the kingdom. This is what's coming. And by the way, a Messiah, a deliverer, will come and usher in this kingdom. And that kingdom will be an eternal kingdom where the rule and the reign of God explodes upon the earth. So it's not just for Christmas. It's for every single day. And if you fast forward to the Gospels, the accounts of Jesus' life and ministry, we see Jesus coming to announce that the kingdom is at hand. I think I have the wrong slide up here, so apologies for that. But I've got a good old-fashioned Bible. Remember these? Paper, right? I've got one of these handy. And Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. After John was put into prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. What's the good news? Well, the good news is, he says, the time has come. The time is right now. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near, or some of your translations say, is at hand. It's right at your fingertips. Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom has broken and the kingdom is here. And of course, Jesus doesn't mean geographically. He means the active reign and rule of God is breaking into history in a new way. And he proclaims this and he says, repent, which means go the other direction and embrace this opportunity. He says, believe it and come under the rule and reign of God. And even though the Romans rule over your little section of land, Jesus says, I have good news. You can live under God's gracious rule and reign through me, through faith in me. And he taught about the kingdom extensively, and he told parables about the kingdom, which we'll look at in this series. And after his death and resurrection, and before his ascension, he's with his disciples for 40 days, and he spends time with them. And Acts chapter 1, verse 3 tells us what he talks about with them. He says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. It's probably pretty important. He's like, the Spirit's coming, lads. I'm gonna go to the right hand of the Father. There's some things you need to know. And he teaches them about the kingdom of God. And the disciples must have got the message, because they begin to do what Jesus did. They proclaimed and taught about the gospel of the kingdom, and then they began to do the works of the kingdom. So you see in Acts chapter 8, verse 12, but when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So Philip has preached about the kingdom. He's proclaimed the king of the kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ, to them. They've responded, and they become baptized because they've come to follow the king. They've entered into the kingdom of God. So the kingdom is proclaimed, and signs and wonders and salvation breaks out following it. Also, Acts chapter 28, verse 31. This is from the Apostle Paul. It says, he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. So we see the apostles and the early church teaching about the Lord Jesus and proclaiming his kingdoms and seeing signs and wonders following. And we have been commissioned to do the same, to preach and announce the good news of the kingdom of God. Now, what did Jesus mean when he announced the kingdom of God is at hand? Well, we need to kind of dig in and place ourselves in, you know, the original context. What did people around, what if they would have been hearing? What if they would have understood? Well, everybody around Jesus pretty much knew what he meant when he said the kingdom of God is here, because they were hoping for it. They were longing for it. They were crying out for it. They were praying for it. They were under Roman rule and occupation, and that was brutal and that was difficult, and they were crying out that God would come and redeem his people again. They'd heard Isaiah. They were crying out that God would dwell with them. They were crying out that God would defeat their enemies, and that they could live, instead of living under Roman occupation, they could live under God's rule and reign of goodness and mercy and fidelity rather than oppression, and rather than under the powers and principalities of the kingdom of darkness, which animate the dark earthly kingdoms of the world. Plus, they wanted to be delivered from their own sin that dehumanizes and entangles us. And so that's what they were crying out for. That's what they were longing for. And in their minds, that probably looked like a political kingdom, an overthrowing of the Romans. But Jesus announces that, no, it's all here. It's all here now with me. Come to faith in me and come into the kingdom of God. The dynamic presence and reality of God's reign over heaven and earth is breaking in a new and unexpected way. And it's centered in and around faith in me. That's what he was saying to them. And again, he wasn't saying we're going to set up a political kingdom here. He was saying we are going to set up an eternal kingdom. God's eternal kingdom that has always existed is breaking in a new form right now. And it is going to come against the lies and the bondage and the darkness of the enemy's grip on the world. And it is going to push back against the sin that entangles us. And he is saying it's time to repent, and it's time to turn from what you've been living under and pursuing. And it's time to embrace a new move of God. So come out from under the rule of the enemy who holds you in bondage to sin and brokenness and death, and come under the rule and reign of God's mercy, peace, and righteousness. And later on in the Gospels, Jesus will tell his disciples, and he tells you, and he tells me, that the kingdom of God is like a treasure in a field. The kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price, both of which are hidden, but then discovered, and are worth selling everything you have to obtain. And if we believe Jesus is who he says he is, and he's teaching us that the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field, and the wisest person sells everything they have and buys the field, gives everything else up for the kingdom, we should probably listen. And we should probably reflect. And we should probably pray. And we should probably think very, very deeply on the kingdom of God. And you might be like, okay, Andy, rule and reign of God. I think I get that. Manifest in Jesus. I think I get that. Okay, I think I'm with you, but I have a few questions. Why is my life so hard if the kingdom is here? Why is the world so dark? Why do I still wrestle with sin? Why do I still wrestle with brokenness and other people's brokenness and the effects of other people's brokenness on my life? And those are really good questions. And when we view life through the lens of the kingdom, we understand that the kingdom is a place of conflict and tension. Because ever since Adam's fall in the Garden of Eden, Satan, our great enemy, has ruled a counterfeit kingdom of sin, death, and brokenness. God delegated dominion in the garden to Adam, and that was lost, and that was obtained by Satan. And now there's two kingdoms in conflict, the kingdom of God and the kingdom, the counterfeit kingdom, ruled by darkness. And you can feel that in our world. You can feel that in your very life right now, if we're honest. Now, the scriptures are clear that the end of all things, the kingdom of darkness, will be fully defeated. But Mark chapter 1, Jesus comes and he says, the time is now. Now is the time. The rule and reign of God is breaking into the world in a new and definitive way in and through Jesus. He's saying the kingdom is for the future, but the kingdom is not just for the future. There's aspects of the kingdom that are here now in and through me. It's breaking into this world in an unexpected way. And we've been talking to lots of people who have been coming along here and coming to things like coffee with kids and stuff like that, and you know, the activities during the summer and things like that. And there are folks who are just brand new to faith or are journeying faith, or should I come to faith in Jesus? And we've just heard this a lot. Like, I wasn't looking for this. Like, something. I'm looking for something in my life because my heart is weary and empty. But I wasn't looking for Jesus, and I definitely wasn't looking for the church. But the only way I can describe what is happening to me is something is breaking into my life. And for some folks, it's like slowly broken in over time. And for other people, it's like crash, bang, boom. What am I doing in church? And I can't stop thinking about Jesus, and I keep meeting Christians all the time, and what is happening here? And I slowly am finding my heart warmed to Jesus, and I find myself like wanting a Bible and reading a Bible, and like, what is going on in my life? Well, I can tell you what's going on in your life. The kingdom of God is breaking in. That's what's happening to you. The kingdom of God is becoming present in and through Jesus to you, and you get to respond to that, and I would encourage you to respond to that, but that's what's happening to you. Isn't that exciting news that that's happening to people up and down this road and all over the city and all over the world? And when Jesus came and made his announcement, it wasn't just words. It wasn't just like a public service announcement. Jesus then demonstrates that the kingdom of God was present by taking back ground from the enemy. What happens when God's rule and reign comes? Well, look at the ministry of Jesus. God begins to get his way. People are healed. The dead can't stay dead anymore when Jesus is around. People have their relationship with God restored, especially people who are like far away, like caught up in sin, like it's beyond Thunderdome, and they come crashing into the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus says to the scribes and the Pharisees, the prostitutes and the tax collectors and those who are far from the kingdom of God, they are crashing into the kingdom ahead of some of you. We should think about that. Demons get cast out of people because they can't stick around. Darkness can't stick around when God's presence comes. People get set free. Good news is preached to the poor. Injustice and hard-heartedness is really, really challenged in the ministry of Jesus and the lives of his followers. In other words, God's will is done on earth in our midst as it is in heaven. And I mentioned before, the Lord's Prayer, our family prayer, is a kingdom prayer. Matthew chapter 6, it's what he taught us to pray. Let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Where God, where you are, you get your way. Let your way, your rule and reign, break out in the midst of our mess on earth. It's a kingdom prayer. Let your reign on earth come in my life. This is why we're encouraging, we're asking, we're calling you to pray, not just in the situation in Gaza, but praying over our world, praying over our city, praying over our lives. Lord, let your kingdom come. Lord, let your mercy come. The kingdom breaks into history as Jesus begins his ministry, and then his decisive victory point is actually on the cross. It looks like a defeat with Jesus crucified, but it's actually a victory where Jesus defeats our real enemies, sin, death, and the devil. And then that's confirmed, his victory is confirmed by his resurrection. And as a result, through faith in Jesus, men and women and children are set free. They're offered the chance to enter his kingdom. The powers of our real enemies, sin, death, and systemic evil are broken and begin to be torn down in our world one life at a time. So the kingdom is here and we're invited into it. And we're invited to announce it and we're invited to do the works of the kingdom ourselves, just like Jesus did and taught his disciples. But the kingdom is also not yet fully here, and that is a dramatic tension. It will come in fullness when Jesus returns, and that's why we as the church and individuals and disciples experience such tension. We at times see the kingdom breaking in, and other times we don't. And that's why it seems like sometimes justice is far away. That's why spiritual warfare and opposition are actually real things that you experience in your life. It's also why we experience sin and evil and the effects of those things in our world and on our lives. Because we live between the cross and the consummation. This affects every minute of your life if you are a follower of Jesus, because you live in the tension of the kingdom being already present and not yet fully present. That means there's great power and presence from Jesus is available to you right now, but then also opposition is true until the enemy is finally subdued on Jesus' return. How do you enter the kingdom? How do you enter the kingdom? Well, you enter the kingdom through faith and allegiance to Jesus, the King of the kingdom. We come unto him, as he said. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How does he do that? Well, he invites us to live under the gracious yoke of the kingdom, his gracious rule and reign. We enter the kingdom by putting our faith in Jesus' death for us, that he paid for our sin, that separates us from God, that sin is forgiven and dealt with for eternity. But we also live in the kingdom in light of not just his death, but in light of his resurrection. We don't just believe that Jesus did some things long ago and things like that. We actively pursue life in him now. We know him, we follow him, we obey the risen Jesus who is Lord of heaven and earth and seated at the right hand of the Father. We live in his friendship and presence and can receive his kingdom resources for faith and life transformation right now. Even in the midst of really, really hard things, we can see the graces of the kingdom break out in our lives to help us endure suffering and hard things. We also get to step out and do the works of the kingdom, the works of Jesus, in our day and in our time. So we're not a bunch of Christians that like circle the wagons till Jesus gets back. It's like, no, let's go see what the Father's doing and let's proclaim the kingdom. And I found as a young man, I found this when I was told the gospel of the kingdom centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the most exciting and wonderful news I had ever heard. And now I'm an old man and I'm 50 plus. And I've seen a lot more than that young man ever saw. And I still think it's the most exciting and wonderful news, but it's also very, very hard. Because if we are confessing Jesus as King and we want the goods and the resources and the graces of his kingdom, that's going to mean laying down our allegiances, our crowns, our idols, the things that we're trusting in for the good life, and coming under his authority and his rule and his blessing and pursuing life in his eternal kingdom of love, righteousness, fidelity, and power. It means we are on a long journey of discipleship and formation where we are learning to lay down our lives one day at a time and live in his kingdom. We're learning to live our lives as he would if he were us. And we're learning to walk in his way and walk in his truth, which leads to his life. And we're learning to embrace what the king wants from me and the world and to live in that trajectory, trusting that he is the good shepherd king. Even when I don't understand it, even when I'm suffering and feel like I frankly just want my own way and I want my own kingdom. Why is any of this good news? Well, I have a couple of reasons. The first one is identity. We live in a world that's obsessed with identity and invites us to anchor our identity in a load of different options. And Jesus and his kingdom give us the truest and most robust foundation to know who we are. Our identity is grounded in Jesus Christ and his kingdom, where we are forgiven of our sin. We are safe and secure in the kingdom of a God who loves us and cares for us forever. That is who we are if we've given our lives to Jesus. And that is an incredibly safe place to be. We anchor who we are in him and his kingdom rather than our job, our cultural identifying markers, our emotions, our success or lack thereof, our family of origin, our sexuality, our nationality, or whatever the world tells us the good life is or tells us where our identity should come from. We have a rock and we have an anchor that tells us who we are in the world, and we can live there safe and secure. All other identity points shake and fail. Jesus Christ and his kingdom will never fail. So not just identity, we're offered purpose. Our little lives matter profoundly when we embrace the kingdom of God and its narratives and its reality. By embracing the kingdom of God, it means that I, as Jesus' disciple, can announce the kingdom and demonstrate it as well at any time. That means I've got a purpose. I've got a share in his ministry. And so do you. In a world that is constantly asking, what is my life for? Like, where is my purpose? What am I supposed to do? We've just had the empty promises of money, sex, and power over and over and over again, and we've found that they're empty wells and things like that. What are we living for? And the kingdom of God comes along and says, you were made for something greater than yourself. You have purpose. You were made to live under the reign of Jesus and to serve him and to help advance his gracious, loving rule and reign on the earth. The kingdom is a place of purpose and action, and we get the blessing of unique callings and vocations and assignments from Jesus upon your life. You get long-term callings to serve him and his kingdom, but you also get spur-of-the-moment directives where the king interrupts your day and says, go do this, and you get to see the kingdom come on the spur of the moment under the direct orders of the king of the kingdom. That's honor and dignity are bestowed upon your life by giving you purpose. The king of the kingdom, his ear is inclined to you, his heart is towards you, his eyes are upon you, and he gives you purpose, and he gives you blessing and dignity. You get to also do something about the brokenness that we encounter and see. We get to go and see what the Father's doing and announce the kingdom of God and its present reality. It also helps us make sense of the world. Lots of the important pillars of civilization are being questioned and challenged and done away with and are shaking. As things like AI rises, as the internet magnifies fringe views and dangerous views, and worst of all, the internet beckons and allows us to live distracted, drifting and asleep, focusing on the wrong things while drowning in anxiety and fear. The kingdom of God, the teachings of the scriptures, and Jesus himself help us live in truth and stability and sanity. It gives us something we can actually build our lives, our families, our churches, and our civilizations on again. We live in a secular, materialistic age where, you know, we're told that reality is only what you can prove scientifically, right? And there's no need for God anymore. We've advanced beyond him. We don't need him anymore. That's just for weak people. And it's this secular, materialistic age has promised us all sorts of wonderfulness and yet has not delivered. And people on these streets, people in these seats, people in our city are desperate for something real and transcendent and shot through with significance and meaning. And the kingdom of God and the place and our place in it gives us anchors in truth, the true story about God, of his kingdom and the goodness of Jesus, and it allows us to reject the untrue narratives about life and this world that the world offers us. It allows us to build on the truth. And above all, and I want to end with this, we get to live with hope. Hope for your life with God, for the people that you love, for your church, hope for your workplace, hope for your city. Is there hope? is there hope even in the face of decreation and disaster and outright evil? Well, my answer is yes. The kingdom of God gives us hope grounded in two places. It gives us hope grounded in the future rule and reign of God, in which followers of Jesus have put their faith, hope, and trust for centuries. The knowledge and the belief, we sang about it in worship earlier, where the return of Jesus is certain and people have put their hearts there. They have found peace and joy and security. It's been a balm for wounded and broken hearts. We can rest in the promise of the kingdom is coming again. The kingdom is coming in its fullness, and it will last for eternity, and there will be no more sin and no more brokenness, and we will be like the Lord Jesus, and we will be in his presence forever, and we will experience all things being made new and renewed and redeemed, and there will be no more pain and no more grief and no more tears. And all of us right now have difficult things and complex things, and we battle disappointment and griefs. And if we're honest, we all have tasted suffering, and some of those sufferings can't be fully explained this side of heaven and the kingdom coming in its fullness. And the only relief might be to meditate and focus on our true home, that one day we will be with the Lord, we will be healed, we'll be whole, we'll be free, we'll be victorious, and we can meditate on that future kingdom, that it's on its way, and we can get hope from there, we can get purpose from there, our faith can be renewed from there, and it can sustain us even in the midst of great darkness and suffering and waiting. And a great prophet said, the waiting is the hardest part. But it's not all deferred hope. Yes, the kingdom allows us to ground hope in the future coming kingdom. But the kingdom is both future and now. And so we can let hope rise now. Because we can pray and act and ask for God's kingdom resources now, to push back the works of the enemy in our lives and in the lives of people we love and in our city, to bring breakthrough in situations, to see where the Father is already at work and the kingdom is crashing in to our reality. We can go to the kingdom now, even though we're in the midst of suffering, and experience the graces of the kingdom that will help us endure suffering. Even in the midst of suffering, the kingdom can come now and help us. And I said this at the first service, you can always tell a vineyard person, because they want to pray right now, no matter what's going on. And I don't know if you spent much time around not vineyard people, but when you say to a not vineyard person, and they share their heart, can I pray for you? They're like, yes, that's so kind of you. And what they mean in their head, what they think you mean, is you're going to go home, and tonight before you go to bed, you're going to kneel down by your bed, and you're going to clasp your hands, and you close your eyes, and you're saying a nice, lovely little prayer for them. And that's great, and you should do that. But what vineyard people mean is, can I put my hands on you right now, in the middle of the street, in the supermarket, wherever we happen to be, and can I ask for the kingdom of God to come and break in right here, right now? And so vineyard people are like, we're just crazy. But we just expect the kingdom might break in. We know it's coming in fullness, and our hearts are resting in those promises and gathering hope from there. But we're also crazy enough to believe that Jesus was telling the truth, that it's here now. And it might break in. So let's see what the Father might be doing. And you might get graces of the kingdom. You might get full-on breakthrough. We don't know, but we're here for it, and we're going to do it. And let's do it right now. Vineyard people know it's here. It's the fullness is coming in the future. But we can also be really, really active right now. We can also be really, really restful in both realities. The kingdom of God remains the most hopeful thing I have ever heard. It continually gives me hope even in the midst of loss and grief, even in the midst of sickness and limitations, sin, failure. The future coming of the kingdom and the possibility of the inbreaking right now into our current reality of the kingdom, it drives out despair and it brings real hope. One of my dreams, and I hope it's a dream you share or will share and begin to pray about, is that BCV is known in this city and up and down these streets as a radical place of hope, where the hopeless come and they find hope. I am praying that we shine like a beacon, and it's not just because we're nice and we've got coffee and we do nice things like coffee with kids and great youth and kids ministry and we did some a nice job on the renovations or something like that. But the people walk in here and they encounter hope. Floods of people come in here and encounter hope in Jesus, the King of the Kingdom, and hope in his reality now and his salvation now, and hope in his coming kingdom. That he has resources for you and them today, and he's got hope for tomorrow and for all eternity. Will you pray that we are that hope? We are that place of hope where many hundreds and thousands meet Jesus and find hope in him and his kingdom. Why don't you stand with me? And just for ministry time, I'm just going to proclaim that the kingdom is at hand and ask for the Lord to break through. In a moment, there'll be a team of people up here to help me pray for anything and everything you may need. Again, to ask for the inbreaking graces of the kingdom in your life right now. But I just want to say and proclaim that the kingdom, the time is now. The kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. That God's rule and reign is available to you here and now. So we say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Would you let the reality of your kingdom begin to revive us where we're despairing, where we're suffering? Would your kingdom come and bring hope in our hearts? I just ask that the graces of the kingdom would be multiplied across this room and the lives of our loved ones as well. We pray for bodies that need healing. We pray for minds that need peace. Lord, let your kingdom come. We pray for those that have gone quiet, those of us that are asleep, those of us that have tuned out. We feel like our job is just to sit there and watch others do the kingdom. We just say, come alive in the kingdom of God and function all according to your destiny. Let your kingdom power come in the name of Jesus. We bless you. We say, let the gifts of the Spirit that are on your life, the purpose that are on your life, be fanned into flame afresh from today. Let hope and faith and courage rise. And we say, do the works of the kingdom that you were made to do. Proclaim the kingdom wherever you go, and may signs and wonders follow as it did with the disciples. Be front-footed, push forward in the kingdom. If you've been disappointed, if you've been distracted, come awake to the kingdom of God present in your midst. And if you are broken and suffering, let the graces of the kingdom come. Let the future coming kingdom be a balm for your broken heart. And would faith rise in you again and minister to you and heal you. And if you have not yet come into the kingdom of God under the rule and reign of Jesus, if you've not become a Christian and become a follower of Jesus, we just say, Lord, let your kingdom come. You're breaking into lives across this room. You're breaking into lives on the live stream and across this city. And we just say, it's time to come to faith. It's time to meet the King of the kingdom. And he is everything you're looking for. He is like, he and his kingdom are a treasure in a field worth giving up everything. And we say, come into his gracious kingdom and be saved and be made whole and have the destiny of your life and your eternity changed forever. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.